The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice in it. You are my God, and I will give you thanks. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. His love does endure forever. And through everything that we can go through, whether it be a storm, as in a storm like this ice storm, or through other storms that we have in our life, he's always there with us. Please stand if you can, and we're going to sing, This is the Day. By not only his birth, but then his death upon a cross as we approach later on the Lent season. So we're going to sing all three verses of this is, there is a Redeemer.
Sisters, every time we gather in worship, we join a community a divine human community that started long before us and will continue long after us, the community of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father and the Son. Congregation, our help and our hope for this age and for the age to come are in God alone, who created the heavens and the earth. Receive his greetings. Grace, mercy, and peace to all of you from God our Father, from Jesus Christ our Lord, through the work and operation of God the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated, and welcome to this place where the divine human community meet in union. Let me lead you in a prayer of confession. Father God, thank you for the community, which our Heidelberg Catechism so succinctly calls it, the community chosen for eternal life, gathered, protected, and preserved by the Holy Spirit throughout the ages. Thank you that we can be part of the Church of Jesus Christ, heirs of eternal life, knowing our citizenship is in heaven, kept there, safe for us. And for the few decades that we are citizens here on this earth, we can do a lot of earthly good because the Spirit of Jesus is in us. Therefore, Father, forgive our sins. Forgive us when we lose sight of that huge and beautiful perspective that we are in this world to bring glory and praise and honor to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Forgive us and restore to us again the joy of our salvation, that day by day we may live out, no matter the circumstances, the joy of knowing that we are your people, forgiven and filled with your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. When the church met in Jerusalem, Acts 15, to decide, well, what are we going to do with these Gentiles that are flooding into the church? What are we going to do with them? They had a whole council of Jerusalem in Acts chapter 15, and the leaders, James, Peter, Paul, and Barnabas are there. And then at one point in that assembly, Peter says, we believe, he's talking about bringing in the Gentiles and the Jews, one people united in Christ. And here's the line from for the assurance of pardon, Acts 15, verse 11. We believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we are saved, just as they are, the Gentiles. It is the grace of God through Jesus Christ that saves us. In continuation of this, I thought we'd do once more, we've done this many times through the years here. I like to have people, don't sing the song, but recite the song. At least a few people, the rest of us can follow along. I can follow along if I get a book. 331 in there. And the first thing I do is I pull out a huge, enlarged. All right, you got another one? Of course, maybe I don't need one. I'm not going to do the reading. 331, three volunteers. Verse 1, Josh. Verse 2, Adam. And verse 3. Who wants to read verse 3? Verse 3. And okay, Tammy, here we go. Let's the rest of us follow along. Part of our prayer of assurance of pardon.
O Lord, how shall I meet you? How welcome you all right. Your people lost to greet you, my hope, my heart's delight. O kindle, Lord, most holy your lamp within my breast, to do in spirit lowly all that may please you best. Love caused your incarnation. Love brought me down to them. Your thirst
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful perspective there, and that captured in that song. In a minute, we're gonna sing, but as soon as we're finished with "For I'm Persuaded and Believe," we're gonna go right on into the Apostles' Creed, because the Apostles' Creed is, in some ways, summarizes. If I may put it this way, the Apostles' Creed is a tremendous summary. Oh, let me put it in a question form: What is God's great answer to humanity's, our great need? The answer is captured in the confession of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of all. I believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, and all that he did. I believe in the Holy Spirit who leads and guides. God's great answer to our humanity's huge problem, your and my huge problem, is summarized in the Apostles' Creed. So let's sing first, "For I Am Persuaded," and go right on into the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. If you're wondering about what does it mean, the Holy Catholic Church, you know it's a small c, the next line, the communion of saints. That's what it is, the communion of saints, with people from many, many different fellowships all worshiping the triune God. Let's take a minute and shake hands with those you're worshiping the Lord with this morning. If you don't know their names, please say hello. Introduce yourselves. Say hello. If you can find your way back to your chair. We're going to have Elder Hoeksema is going to read the epistle reading from Ephesians 6 about putting on the full armor of God. So let's listen as... You might have to put that mic up there, Grant.
This is Ephesians 6, verse 10 through 20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should.
There's a lot in that passage we could pick up, but I had to ask Grant to read it, because I want you to just answer this in your own mind, according to this passage and many other passages, because it's going to come up later in the sermon, and I don't think I'm going to say much about it at that point. Who is the enemy who is the enemy? Is it the abortion doctors? Is it the racist? Is it the greedy? Is it the rapist? Is it the self-centered? Are they the enemy? According to this passage, no, they are all in bondage to the enemy. Take your stand against the devil's schemes. Therefore, put on the whole armor of God. And then the flaming arrows of the evil one, that's the enemy. One last little comment here. I think frequently we get this thing just backwards. We are to be tolerant of people and intolerant of their unbiblical ideas. Now, sometimes they're very close, of course. That's why it's hard. Tolerant of people and intolerant of unbiblical ideas. But by and large, our culture has it just the other way around. We're intolerant of people and tolerant of everybody's ideas. Well, whatever you want, you know, just backwards. Let's, by the Holy Spirit, be tolerant of people. They are in bondage. But intolerant of unbiblical ideas. And forge our way ahead as the body of Christ. Sharing how God used his people from January 8th to the 15th, and then sharing joys and concerns. Anybody any stories to tell? Don is sitting there with a microphone. If there's anything you want to say about what happened in your life this past week, that you know, just share and encourage people. Let me just with the Mundorf family there, with your well, of course, your mom Pam healing, but I went to see your dad too, and you know, this past week, and when I came into his room, his whole sheet was off him, and oh, my heart just, there's not much to him, is there? He's just so gaunt, you know, but we prayed together, and he cried a little bit. I did too.
I move into my new apartment in a couple weeks, so I'm happy about that. I've been working really hard, and I've come a long way, so I want to thank Pastor and his wife and the Hoeksemas and everybody that's been there for me. So.
That's Heather Anderson that's been with us for off and on, and we hope many times, finding her way in terms of the body of Christ and Jesus Christ, of course.
So Julie is in Cambodia. She is there with a mission group doing medical missions for the week, and The entire contingent got there safely, and Cambodia is 13 hours ahead of us, so she's sleeping right now, hopefully.
Good, John. Good. Larry here.
We're saying thanks to Gil for 14 years of ministry, but there's someone else who is maybe as important as Gil sitting in the audience. That's Janice, his wife, who came with him and joined this ministry. She's a trained organist, but we sold the organ. No, we obliterated the organ prior to you showing up. So she has spent 14 years playing the piano with us, and thank you for that very much. She also has obviously been weekly advice to her husband about songs that are appropriate and we can actually sing in the congregation, as well as checking to make sure his hair is combed, his shirt tail is tucked in, and his tie matches his shirt. So, by the way, I thank you for teaching us the doxology song that I don't remember the full history, but was your sister involved in, right?
Praise the Savior? Yep. Sisters.
Yeah. Yep. Right. Which has become one of my favorite doxologies, so thank you for that. You also have obviously been involved quite often in twisting brass players' arms to get them to play at both Advent and Christmas. As well as being involved in choral productions and that type of thing, playing for them. You've served on the worship team almost since its inception, because that was put together when Peter Manns was here, and it was almost immediately you were a part of that and had been serving on it ever since. Tell the truth, we maybe have a harder time replacing you than Gil, but you've also served as a deacon. I'm actually probably one of the first women to do so in the congregation. So as we say thank you to Pastor Gil for his years of service at Trinity, we also say thank to you, Janice, for accepting the call with him and being a part of us here.
Amen. Yeah. Yeah, she is better at many things than I am, except, well, no, she's got a good sense of humor, too, but mine is just better. Whatever. It's good to see you, Paul and Kelly, right behind there with your new little one God has given you to raise for 18 years, right? 18 years to be independent of you and dependent on Jesus. That's what we keep that phrase before us, all of us parents with children. And the church will help you. The church will help you in 1,000 ways. Anyone else? I'm going to pray for President Trump this morning as well. President, as he gets inaugurated again. Well, you'll listen to my prayer. I wrote my thoughts down to make sure that I pray the way I want to pray. So let's go to God in prayer. Father God, thank you that we can lift up our voices before you and you hear us. And we know you hear us because you've forgiven our sins. We're assured of the forgiveness of sins. All those who put their weight down on the trustworthiness of Jesus Christ, you forgive their sins, and then you hear their prayers. You hear their prayers as and how they're going to live their lives from moment of conception, parents pray, to the moment that we stand as loved ones at a grave. Loved ones pray. And all the time in between, we pray as you taught us to pray, that your name will be hallowed, your kingdom will come, your will be done, and that you will give us each day our daily bread because we need strength, that you will not let us give way to temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, and that our sinful debts may be forgiven, so that we can rejoice knowing we are forgiven and then treat people. As I mentioned earlier, treat people with wisdom and the love of Christ, because there are people, Father, so trapped in the bondage of the evil one that they're dangerous people. And we have to have wisdom, and much wisdom,